message series is going to be starting June 11th, entitled, I Want to Believe, But. So just have you make a note of that and look forward to some conversation around that. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks again because we know that you are present with us. And we pray that you would just help us to continue to be present with you. And as we complete this journey through the book of Hebrews, we ask that you would open your word to us, that it might be fresh and new. And Lord, I pray that you might be thou my voice. Not just the words, but the actual sounds that are coming out of my mouth, that you would, that they would be yours. And so we pray that you would be with us now in this time. Amen. We are finally at the last part of this message series entitled Through the Veil. It's been a study through the book of Hebrews, and it's been one of the longer series that I've done. Usually, I feel like my series usually are not really more than 5 weeks. This one, I think, is pushing like 8 or 9, so thanks for sticking in there, putting up with that. Certainly, there have been times when it's been some work that we've done through this letter. I hope that you have found it to be meaningful, to be helpful, as we've talked about over the course of the series entitled Through the Veil, that we have talked about the ways in which, we started all the way at the front part of the book where the writer helps us understand how Jesus is fully God. And then we talked about Jesus being fully human, and we talked about through that, Jesus being our Sabbath, our rest, our mediator, our sacrifice, our Savior, our confidence. And then we've talked over the last couple weeks how there's a pivot that happens in chapter 10, where now the writer then kind of helps us say, okay, so now what? Like, now we have to find a way to apply all of these things that Jesus is the best. The argument that the author is making is that Jesus is the best of the best, the ultimate everything. And now what do we do with that? Why does that matter? How does it apply to our lives? So we've talked about the way in which that God calls us his sons and daughters, and that as a part of that, we should come to expect God's discipline, not as punishment, but rather as training. We've talked about how last week, the pursuit of personal and social holiness, how they help us to live in community with each other, at peace with one another, to be united as God's family. This morning, we're going to wrap up the series, and I want to talk about how real hospitality translates into grateful hospitality. So if you have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3 this morning. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, starting there, keep on loving one another. I'm reading from the NIV this morning. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Verse 3. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated is as if you yourselves were suffering. Now, when I talk about real hospitality, I want you to understand that I believe that real hospitality was first expressed to us through the invitation that God gave to you and to me through the work of his son, that we might be a part of God's family. That real hospitality moves an individual from being stranger to family. And the way that we see that played out is that, as you can read through the first part of the letter in Hebrews, the way in which that through the all-sufficient work of Christ, right? Jesus is the ultimate, he is the best of the best. And the way in which that the writer helps us see that through the ultimate, all-sufficient work of Christ, that this invitation has been extended to you and to me to be a part of God's family. And that is real hospitality. That is, I would believe, the defining example of what real hospitality looks like. And through that invitation, through the work of Christ, that you and I might be called sons and daughters of God, that we might be a part of God's family, that there it moves an individual from being stranger to family. If you're taking notes, Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 11 through 22, but I'm only going to read kind of bits and pieces of it just to save my voice. Ephesians chapter 2, if you're taking notes, we're going to start at verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who called themselves that, remember that at the time that you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, that you were without hope and without God in the world. But now, in and through Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. He goes on, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, right? Real hospitality, I believe, is the invitation that moves an individual from being foreigner or stranger to family member. And we hear this, that happens through Christ. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household or his family. Flip over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I believe that real hospitality is moving an individual from stranger to family. And that has been given to us. It is shown to us through the work of Christ, this invitation that God has invited you, specifically you, to be a part of his family, that you might be called a brother and sister of Christ. And so with that, then, I believe that hospitality takes on a new and deeper meaning when expressed through that gratitude. When you and I can take a step back and think about the ways in which that God has invited us to be a part of his family, he has extended hospitality to you and to me, that we might not just be called friend, but family, that now hospitality takes on a new and deeper meaning when we live that out through gratitude. So I call that grateful hospitality. Now, you can look through and this whole letter to Hebrews, you can look through and see the ways in which this family kind of language is talked about. Chapter 3, verse 6, but Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house, right? This is what the household of God looks like. It's made up of brothers and sisters of Christ. Chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 of Hebrews. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. He goes on, both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So the household of God, made up of brothers and sisters, you and I would be in Christ, then this is what grateful hospitality begins to look like. The way in which we live in relationship to each other and those who might come in to our doors. Real hospitality, I believe, that which extended to us the invitation, God through Christ, to be a part of his family, leads us to then live grateful hospitality, that because of that, we are grateful that God would call us a part of his family. And because of that gratitude, the way in which we then show and express and live hospitality with each other becomes something more than just a warm, hot cup of coffee, which I'm very grateful for this morning. But it's more than that. Now, outside of Christian literature, the phrase brotherly love is used almost exclusively to highlight the natural biological relationship between siblings and this sort of mutual support that should characterize that kind of a relationship between brother and sister. Now, when you talk about brotherly love within the Christian literature context, or in particular, scripture, it becomes a kind of a fun little word study. So we're gonna have a fun little word study this morning for a second, okay? So you're gonna see a slide on screen. All of you are familiar with the city of brotherly love, which is what? Philadelphia, okay? One of the Greek translations for the word love is phileo or phileo. Some people will say it in different ways. But that word, that first part of that phil, okay, comes from that word, Greek word, love. The Adelphia, which we have our city, Philadelphia, is the word for brotherhood. So you can see, oh, okay, cool, brotherly love, city of brotherly love. Next slide. Eventually. The word, then, for hospitality that's used in the text can be transliterated for that word that you see there, okay? Philo or philoxenia, hospitality. Can you see where the first part of that word is? What? Philo is what? Love. Nice. First service, I think they were maybe still asleep. They were like, oh. I was like, guys, we just saw it on the last slide. They eventually woke up and they got there. Xenia, just that word alone, means hospitality. But what's interesting is that it's related to another word that means stranger. There is a word that has been in recent culture times that we see, xenophobia. Have you heard of that or read that or seen that? Phobia means what? Fear of, right, whatever, fill in the blank, spiders, snakes, heights, blah, blah, blah. Xeno, X-E-N-O, as it would be transliterated, is the word means strange or different. So when we talk about xenophobia, we're talking about a fear of things that are different than perhaps us, perhaps what we know, perhaps what we're comfortable with. So, and that's a whole nother message series for another time. But you begin to see how the relationship between that word, which means xeno, X-E-N-O, strange or different, then xenia, meaning stranger, and now hospitality is a love for, go to the next slide. Hospitality is a love for strangers. So as the readers would have read this letter, the first time that they would have kind of read through this, this is kind of what it would have looked like or sounded like to them. So we read it as this: keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Chapter 13, verse 1, verse 2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. They would have read it as, it would have sounded to them like, love of brother, love of sister, let it continue. Keep it going. Love of stranger, do not forget. So when we talk about grateful hospitality, I believe that we begin to see this sort of, what I think is kind of an exciting, sort of cool idea of love for stranger, right? You can think, I mean, it makes sense, right? When you think about the idea of hospitality, someone coming into your home, someone coming to your workplace, someone coming into our church, that when we think about hospitality is how do we create an environment, a space that is going to love the stranger, that's going to love someone new to this body, to this church, to this space, to your workplace, to your home, or whatever the case might be. Grateful hospitality, then, I believe, becomes deeper than extending someone a warm cup of coffee, though it's a great place to start, especially if the coffee's decent, which I believe ours is. I'm biased. But that it's also then, how do we love stranger? How do we move stranger from coming into our space, move them from stranger to family? Because we ourselves have been moved from stranger to God, to God's family. And so when we look at and unpack this idea of, as the writer tells us, to keep this love going, let brotherly, sisterly love continue. He's not simply just being sentimental. Oh, guys, it'd be so cute and nice if you loved each other like brothers and sisters. But rather, he's urging us, he's using these words as a way in which this should sort of be the characteristic by which we direct our lives together in community as God's family. That we love and we encourage and we support each other as brothers and sisters in the faith so that we're so grateful for this that when people come in, we then move them from stranger into being a part of the family. Let it continue. Urging them. Do this as a way in which it reflects on your relationship with God. Remember last week we talked about the personal holiness and the social holiness and the way in which your personal relationship with God impacts your relationship with everybody else around you. Whether you realize that or recognize that or not, your personal relationship with God impacts the way you interact with everybody else. And so as we pursue God as individuals, then it shapes the way we pursue God as a community. Personal holiness, and Wesley would say, there is no personal holiness without social holiness, or outside of, there is no such thing. I would say that the way in which we individually pursue God in our own relationship is very much related to, I would say, directly with the way in which we do it as a community. And so the way in which you live out this gratitude that God has invited you to be a part of his family then allows you to express this deeper hospitality to anyone that might show up. Now, I'm going to, if you're going to let me for a second, I'm going to brag on Gateway. So if you're new this morning, thanks for being here. Happy Mother's Day if you're a mom. I hope that this has been your experience so far, either if you're new this morning or the last couple weeks. I hope this has been your experience. If not, please let me know. But I have consistently heard from individuals who are visiting. Some of you who have went from visitor to member, I've heard from you that you have found this group of people to be genuinely welcoming. That there has been a depth of hospitality that has gone beyond just a cup of coffee, but also a sincere kindness, interest even in you as an individual or your life or your family. And what's been cool is that and we've got lots of things to do and get better at and keep working on. So, but for a second, I do want to say that I think that there have been times when we have found a kind of the right, some of you, maybe I'm not in that, some of you have been able to find the right balance between this sort of care and kindness while not being overbearing or overwhelming or awkward. And so as the pastor of Gateway, first I want to say thanks, because it would be annoying to have to deal with lots of awkward people, right? So thank you for not being awkward. So that's great. So if nothing else, you know, happy Mother's Day. We're not super awkward. Like, all right, great. That's a win. On the other side of that, I think that I would guess that all of us almost have been in situations or we've been to events or we've been in places where the hospitality has felt uncomfortable. I won't speak for you. I have experienced hospitality in churches where it has felt, I would even use the word, desperate. And so, one, thanks. Thanks for just being kind. Thanks for just being nice. Thanks for being genuine. Thanks for looking for ways to live this sort of grateful hospitality. Because I believe that there's something deeper there that we've got to continue to push and challenge ourselves to be. Now, having said that, one of the places where I think we do need to continue to challenge ourselves, where we can continue to get better, is that when we talk about and live with this, I thought I was going to take a drink and then I didn't. That when we live with this, and I obviously, you know, I speak with my hands and I eat them both. So that when we live with this grateful hospitality, that it is not a passive thing. That we simply don't just sit here in this space. You don't sit there in your chair and go, I'm going to wait for someone to come in and then we're going to be really nice to them. You do that for the most part. So thanks. But grateful hospitality is not just a passive, it is an active thing that we take out into the world, into your world, into your community. Have you ever thought about what it would look like for you to live with grateful hospitality out in the world? In your workplace, in your home, in your school? What does it look like for you to live with this attitude, this practice of grateful hospitality? Because the writer tells us, brothers and sisters, keep loving each other. That's great. Keep that going. Don't forget love of stranger. I love that phrase. But also he goes on. Go and visit and love and extend hospitality to those in prison, to those who are suffering, Go and do that. So when I think about grateful hospitality, that real hospitality leads us into, right? First, the hospitality that was extended to us because of God through Christ, that then it causes us to live with grateful hospitality, that then we go out into the world. That our hospitality cannot just stay right here. Oh, you came to Gateway. Cool, great, thanks for being here. We'll try to be nice and not awkward. But also, our hospitality has to carry with us out into the world. How we interact with people. Because we are grateful that God has invited us to be a part of his family. Therefore, I can live with that grateful hospitality out in the world, inviting people into God's family as well. That it's not a thing that I can just sit and go, okay. It's not enough to just sit here and wait for people and then be nice to them. It's an important part of it. But grateful hospitality is something much deeper as it challenges us to go and be hospitable even out of the world. We know the world is a tough place. We know that. No one needs to remind us of that. No one needs to tell us that. So the church, of course, should be a place where there is love and support and encouragement. Why not then take that and also take it out into the world? Take it out into our neighborhoods. Take it out into the places where we go day to day that we might live with this sort of grateful hospitality. The writer alludes to a story of ways in which hospitality has been shown to people, and that then people end up entertaining angels unaware. If you're taking notes, you're interested, you want to explore that. Genesis chapter 18, the first part of that chapter, we read about Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham's sitting outside of his tent, and these three dudes come by. And as would have been expected, Abraham offers this really above and beyond sort of acts of hospitality to these strangers. Don't forget love for stranger. And Abraham extends this hospitality to these guys that are walking through and walking by. And guess what one of those guys has as a story for Abraham and Sarah? He says, hey, just wanted to let you know, you guys are going to have a baby. One of the strangers that Abraham and Sarah were willing to extend hospitality to were the very messengers of the one of the promise that would lead to the covenant and promise of Isaac. Remember Abraham and Sarah, you know, maybe their story, they were really, really super old, hadn't had any kids, and oh man, there was nothing more than what Sarah wanted than to be a mom, and I know for some of you, that's your story on this Mother's Day. And so know that thoughts and prayers. But Sarah and her husband are working through this thing, and they're old and kind of at the point where it's like, this is not in the cards for us. This is not going to be a thing. And they weren't thinking about that when they extended hospitality. That was just what they knew they were called to do. What would it look like for us as a church, as we live with this grateful hospitality, that we not just extend it here, but as we go out, what are the things that we might find that God has in store? What are the things that God might want to invite us into that he's already doing out in the world and in the community that we don't even know, that we don't even know yet, but that if we live with this sort of grateful hospitality, that we might find these things and God might invite us into that you as an individual and we as a church could be a part of. Just because we're trying to live out this thing of hospitality that we have so graciously been extended. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks that you would be so gracious to extend this incredible depth of hospitality, that you would invite us to be a part of your family. Lord, help us not to miss that. And as we are so thankful for that, may that thankfulness, may that gratitude shape everything we do. And especially the way that we extend an invitation or we extend a welcome or that we live out hospitality with those around us. We give you thanks for the work of your Son, that we might be called your sons and your daughters, that we might be his brothers and sisters, a part of your family. We pray that because of that and through that, Lord, that you would help us that here at Gateway, that we wouldn't know a stranger. We don't know a stranger here. And that you would continue to use us